are now.
We are now. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right. So thank you. We've had the moment of silence. We've had the pledge. And then Lauren, as a solicitor, would you like to share that we're having an executive session to follow?
Certainly. Council will meet in executive session, follow the meeting to discuss matters of personnel and matters of potential litigation.
Thank you. All right. And I'd like to call public to be heard.
Are you amendments to the agenda, Tara?
No, sorry. Any amendments to the agenda?
I have one.
Okay.
I just want to make a brief comment regarding the zoning hearing board application for 202 Penn Street. And I could do that under zoning if you'd like.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, thanks. Unless you think that it would impact anyone who is listening in. But right now, all we have is your husband. So.
Yeah, and he's already. I wasn't planning to discuss this in any great length, just to introduce it to council. So there would
But the introduction to make everybody aware to pay attention to that. Let's put that under zoning.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. Public to be heard. All right, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Have a special event reminder for live music at Pickering Field, adhering to all CDC, state, and county guidelines on Friday, November the 6th, which is this coming Friday, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Sponsored by Bill Davis and A Love for Life. Rain date is Sunday, November the 8th, 2020, from 5 to 6:30. I know Nicole may talk further on this, but we had a very good response to all the Halloween activities that took place in town, even though most of them were virtual except for the window painting. And I thought it went very well for the town as well as for the participants. So I just want to thank the community and all that participated in the Halloween things that we did. Thank you.
Thank you. And Nicole, since Rec Board isn't on the agenda, do you want to just share a brief update on the events?
Yes, sure. So we had probably about 50 entries into the contest. They can be viewed on Facebook at the Newtown Borough Movies and Music in the Park page. I believe Jeff Warner's also going to do a write-up.
Okay.
So the winners will be somehow, in the next week or whatever, put into the newspaper as well.
All right, great.
But yeah, it was good participation. We don't have the prizes awarded yet because we kept it open into Halloween so that people could snap pictures that day.
All right. Thank you. All right. Mr. Mayor, do you have any other else?
No, that's all. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Under President's report, I'd like to bring a proposal for supporting our business community by waiving the parking time limit in the business district during the holiday shopping season from Thursday through Saturday, and Sunday, although there's the limited parking shifts then. So this is something we've done the last few years. So this is consistent with what was done last year, these days and these times. The original vote last year had been Friday to Sunday, and then it was amended to include Thursday because that's when the businesses were open later and we wanted to encourage people to come in. So if council is good with doing that again this year, I'd like to entertain the motion as written on the agenda.
You need a second?
Well, I can't. I'm entertaining it. I'm offering it to you, saying I'd like somebody to make the motion. I can make motions, but I really shouldn't. So it should be council.
Tara, I'll make the motion.
Great, thanks.
Okay, I move to waive parking time limit restrictions in the business district on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from November 26th through December 31st. The waiver does not include the 30-minute parking spaces, which will continue to be enforced. The parking limit also will continue to be enforced Monday through Wednesday.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions?
How do we notify? There were
complaints from businesses that there was increased all day parking by employees, that there were spaces being taken up and not being available?
We didn't get a complaint from businesses to that effect, not that I recall. Mr. Mayor, did you recall having that? And it was determined when this decision was done before, if you recall, that it was in the business's interest to keep those spaces open to encourage people to come in to shop, and so that they would want to and naturally want to encourage their employees not to take advantage of that. And we can remind them of that, but we can't really enforce whose car it is.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Bob, did you have a question also?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that the signs are not only on State Street, but also center between State and Court Street.
Mm-hmm.
So this would extend into that area also, because those are 30-minute time slots currently.
Correct. Yeah, and they're part of the business district.
Yep.
So how
do we notify the business?
Oh, it is so hard. When we're all looking at each other and we're in one room, we can kind of see that the body languages and whatnot. So, Bob, you have your hand up, and then I think this.
How do you want to notify the businesses? Through the Mercantile Group or?
Yeah, the mayor will communicate as liaison.
And how do we tell the public?
That will be something that, we're saying it here. We communicate it to the police department. The police department can put it on their Facebook page. The Newtown Mercantile Group can convey it in their page and any, you know, for example, if businesses have email groups that they send out to and so on. And, you know, the word gets out there. We can also let Jeff know if, he'd like to note that in the advance. You know, not a paid advertisement, just, as information. So I think the word gets out, because we've done it for several years now, it's something people may be looking for.
And I do believe the Mercantile Group has included that in their flyers that they put out for the holiday season coming forward.
So, okay, great.
Sorry, so can you hear me?
Yes,
this is Judy.
A little bit. You're quiet, but we hear you.
All right, I'll try to talk loud. No, so just want to add two more things. I'll put that in the website, scrolling news.
Great.
Section, and it's also it will be printed in the 2020 fall newsletter that should be hitting people's mailboxes right before Thanksgiving.
Perfect. Excellent. Thank you, Judy.
I just wanted to clarify what Bob said, because he mentioned Center Street between Court and State, but in fact, since those are 30 minutes, this doesn't impact those, correct?
Correct. And so people parking in those, basically wherever you are, double check that you are parked not in a 30-minute zone.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you all. All right, on to the solicitor's report.
Thank you. Very brief this evening. Council has a resolution in front of it this evening, resolution 11-4-2020, which would approve the business integrity policy. This business integrity policy was drafted in compliance with a variety of state contracts. PennDOT and other state agencies are requiring that municipalities adopt these policies, which provide for things like compliance with state bidding laws and compliance with the right to know law and all sorts of policies like that. So this is a fairly standard policy that a lot of municipalities are adopting now. And we prepared a resolution to formally adopt the business integrity policy.
And I'd like to make a motion to adopt resolution number 11-4-2020, approving the business integrity policy.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right. This has been before council for a little bit now. And we've been working out some of the revisions with the solicitor. And a lot of it is taken from the other PICO contracts, or not really kind of the other policies that other communities have put into place response to the request from PICO. So are there any further questions or comments?
Just one. The as far as the enforcement goes and review of all these applications that will be coming forth, is that where is that coming from, or where is that landing in somebody's lap?
So if it's a bidding matter and we're reviewing the responsive bidder to see whether or not they, you know, everything has been complied with, our office can certainly review that. I believe it's usually, the initial review is usually done by borough staff, but we can certainly help with any of the review that is necessary on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And a lot of it is what we're actually already doing. We're codifying how we behave ethically anyway into a specific policy.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. All right, thank you all. Thanks, Lauren. Thanks, Sue. Thanks, everyone. Okay. And next, we have the update on the single hauler trash removal recommendations from the Environmental Advisory Council. So, Julia?
Yes, thank you. And actually, I see Bill Heineman has joined us in the audience.
Oh, excellent. Hi, Bill.
But I did post the recommendations that the EAC had made to the SharePoint materials for tonight's meeting. The EAC was charged with discussing various billing practices to see what they would recommend as we formulate our plan to move towards a single trash hauler. Bill, did you want to speak to these recommendations?
Well, sure. Did you, was it basically the text that I sent you?
Yes.
That's what everybody's seen?
Yes.
I hope it kind of speaks for itself. And if I can just recap where I think we are. EAC has brought this topic to you a couple times. Most recently, you asked us to go back and think through a little further, how might it work? And so we, did you include the options as well, Julia, or just the recommendation?
Yes, yes, I did. That the
okay.
four options and actually also the paragraph describing the reason that you recommended the first option.
Well, I won't read them back to you then, I guess. But that's where we are based on your most recent request. So is there any... I'm all ears about your thoughts and questions.
So to recap for anyone in our audience who hasn't heard these options, there were four billing options, and the EAC is recommending that we continue in the billing as it is now, that is individual households would be billed and pay to the trash hauler that has been chosen, as opposed to going through the borough or through the borough tax mailings or all those other options that would involve borough staff, which would incur cost for the borough.
And I guess I'll just add that when we talk to the other nearby municipalities, particularly Yardley Borough, Langhorne Borough, they do it more through the borough office, either through, you know, taxes or flyers that the borough sends out quarterly that includes the hauling invoice for each household. So other municipalities have in fact chosen to have it be more kind of embedded in the office operations of the borough. Our proposal does not do that.
And is that primarily to minimize the amount of work put in on borough staff since we're so small?
Well, that's certainly one way to look at it. I think it certainly we want to be sensitive to that issue, for sure. And this could end up being a big change, right? And so this is one area where we are proposing, well, let's not change this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that the for the households that use the chosen hauler, there will be no change. It'll be like the same. And for households that have to change from a different hauler, they'll still be paying their quarterly bill, just sending it to a different address.
That, right.
So it feels like the minimum impact both on the office staff and on the residents.
I see. Okay. And have you spoken to any municipalities who use that option A? And how did
no,
it go for them?
No, that's what I was trying to say, is that the ones we've talked to have right. all gone more in through the office in some form or other.
Oh, okay. I got that Yarlene Langhorne did that. I didn't know if there were any others that you had spoken to. So, okay.
Bill, is it the EAC's recommendation to go to a single hauler or to limit the number that we have now?
So our recommendation, I can try to find the wording, Corky, but I don't know if it was the last month or month before, we brought a recommendation that says go to a single hauler. That's our recommendation.
Fine. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So one thing I'm thinking might be good, this is something that, you know, we can do, but to ask, you know, in the consortium and to, you know, ask, you know, if there's any other like groups of people that we know, if anyone else does this, because it might be interesting to hear any, you know, particular challenges and benefits any other towns who do use the option A, you know, have had. So we have ways of asking that that you know, that might be hard. The EAC would have to then like say, ask Judy to send it out, for example. But for the consortium of municipalities in Bucks County, you know, there's people often ask questions.
So Tara, that, I'm sorry, the trash actually was the solid waste report that came out from the county a year or so ago that we had to approve the comprehensive plan for trash.
Yeah.
Does indicate which municipalities have a hauler specified for their community as opposed to individual contracts and so on. And if you'll recall, when Whitetail came to be added to our list, we asked them specifically, have they had experience with any kinds of billing? And where their remark was, well, we've done it both ways. We've gone through the community, municipality, and we've done it where we bill directly. The difference being that if the municipality is the payer, a single payer to the hauler, and they're expecting a quarterly payment and the borough's responsible for collecting the money, the fee to the trash hauler is less. So, you know, so the contract would cost less, but ultimately that cost is then borne by the borough because the borough is taking care of it. And then the borough has to deal with people who have failed to pay.
Oh, I understand. And I don't want
to get so there are complications all over things. But you had asked us just to kind of to come back with the recommendation of what we thought the best billing option ought to be. And that's what the EAC has recommended.
So I wasn't completely clear, Tara, whether you were talking about the count. You used some phrase, Council of Municipalities.
So there's a consortium.
It's called the consortium.
And is that something you're asking EAC?
I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was just curious whether you were suggesting EAC be involved in some aspect of that, or is that something?
No, they don't have to. This is something I'm not asking. I'm not delegating a new task to EAC. It's, you know, we can look at the list of municipalities that that have it from their report that Julia is referring to, and I don't know. I don't recall specifically them saying how they build, and that Whitetail mentioned they had done. You said, Julia, Whitetail said that they had some where they had the billing arrangement between the hauler and the residents, you know, keeping the municipality out of it. So I'm curious to then check with some of those towns and say, hey, you know, how does that go for you? Are there any, like, you know, unexpected issues, something that we might want to prepare for, that type of thing? I think just as part of the information gathering. I'm not sending EAC back out to go do this. This is sort of
thank you.
Part of the conversation with council.
Great. But I guess, sorry, Nicole, go ahead.
No, I was just going to go. You go first, Bill.
I should have added as well, and Julie, I'm glad you brought this up. We would still expect some negotiation to take place with respect to the billing, because I would imagine the hauler will achieve some economies of scale. And, you know, at least as part of the negotiation, we'd like to see them pass some of that along. But for sure, if we were going with a contract-based arrangement through the borough, where the borough is taking the risk of upfront payments and just single check once a quarter to the hauler, that would probably be result in lower cost to the residents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a trade-off. We're suggesting, well, let's not go down that path right now.
It's
certainly a possibility. Sorry, Nicole, go ahead.
No,
No problem. So I just wanted to, first of all, start with I'm 100%, I think we need less trash companies on the street. So I really agree. I also agree with billing directly. And I just wanted to mention something I brought. So, well, Whitetail actually brought this up. You know, once you do put it in your taxes, then you now become a trash collector. So meaning that your office, if the price of recycling goes up, you're going to have to then relate that to everybody. And then they have to know, okay, now your tax bill is going to have to go up because recycling is more expensive, for example. And then the only thing that a little bit concerns me is when, and I agree with the one, I'm logistically trying to figure out. So somebody is, you know, getting contracts to, you know, getting examples of contracts together, I'm assuming from like three different choices of sorts and making sure that they can handle what we need. And there'll be that list of what we're looking for. The communication to the people, the taxpayers, to say, okay, hi, you have this company now, and you have to switch to this company, and you have to call that company. And oh, by the way, if you have a contract with them, it's up to you to fight the, no, it's not.
No, I don't think it would be that way. And I think it's kind of a little early to kind of worry about those details. I think at this point where we should be is we should be coming up with what the, like almost like an RFP, like what are the requirements we want? So for example, I've been approached by residents who said, I would like to have the option of once a week or twice a week pickup. I want to have recycling. We already said we want to have some form of yard waste recycling. So to put together this list so that we can then send it out and ask for contracts back, we can the way the billing would work or setting up the contracts, I am not exactly sure what that, how that, the mechanics of that might work, but that's a detail we would work out later. But I think what we need to do now is over, and not at tonight's meeting, but I think it needs to be a topic on an agenda for general discussion to which the community certainly should participate in what are the features we want from this contract. And it's the idea is that by contracting with a single hauler, that we can actually bring the costs of trash hauling down for the individual homeowners, because otherwise this is kind of a waste, as well as environmentally bringing down the cost of the borough. And so I think we need to work on that framework. When we get to the point of a little bit further on, we can determine what the mechanics of the actual billing process are. Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that we might want to have a special meeting for it, because we want to encourage a lot of members of the public, and we want people to send in emails and letters and really get their thoughts, because this, you know, nobody can come and say, I didn't know about this, you're doing things behind my back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
One thought comes to mind with all of this, starting with what Nicole said a minute ago. This sort of ties in with the comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that there are sections of the comprehensive plan, and I think there are, that cover this, I presume that in some fashion, as you're, you know, kind of rolling out the discussions around the comp plan, you had a survey that is, you know, I don't think it got it. Well, it did. Oh yeah, right. The survey did touch on that. Yep, that's right. I'm remembering now. And I assume you're going to have some public meetings in whatever form they take, mm-hmm. around the comp plan. So those could be good touch points. I don't know what the timing looks like. I mean, from EAC's point of view, we're like, let's move on with this, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Waiting till that we get the survey results back, then have the public meetings. And this is something we can say, well, as part of the survey, this is the response we got to that question. Now we're going to then move on and have a meeting specifically to address the hauler question.
Yeah. So, and then that would leverage Nicole's concern, which I don't think it's too early to raise the concern about how do you inform people. Probably we're not ready to answer the question yet. And then the other piece to this is I think at some point we talked about having the borough solicitor start looking at how this would work from a contractual legal point of view.
Right. It would be good to have a lot of questions answered before the public meeting, so we can anticipate right. the things people might want to know, and so we can lay it out clearly, I think. And just to go back where we were, just to confirm, so Bill, you guys talked to Yardley and Langhorne. Are there any other municipalities that you talked to about this that I should note, or was it those two?
Well, we talked to, I don't know, either talked to or at least did some summary of, I think it was five.
No, I know you sent us the initial list of a few, but when you went back and talked about the billing, you said you talked to Yardley and Langhorne, so you talked to five in total.
But not about this particular question. I'd like to be clear about that. Yeah. We talked, I got a little more in depth with Yardley Borough and Langhorne Borough because I thought they were more comparable than the nearby townships.
Got it. All right.
So Tara, you have connections on the consortium, right?
The borough does.
Right. So why don't I think it is a good idea just to put that question out there to consortium and ask them if they could email us back how they handle it if they are involved and if they have a single hauler or they've restricted the number of haulers, how are they doing their billing, and let's see what we get back from them.
Yeah. And are there any like issues that have come up, things that we can think about and be prepared for in advance?
Right. But that should be easy enough just to put that out there and see what comes back.
Yeah, I can compose something and then send it over to Judy and ask her to send it out to the list. So
sounds good.
Yeah, that'll be great. It'll be interesting to see what comes back. I think there will be a difference between the more tightly packed boroughs and the more loosely populated townships. And so I think we need to be really seeing what the boroughs' experiences are, because I think they'll map closer to ours.
Does anybody know how many of our current trash haulers have eliminated the twice week option?
Only one that I'm aware of. I believe Whitetail has only once a week. All the others you can choose.
No, I think Waste Management is now. So there's two. So
okay, there you go.
Because that decreases, as long as you have the option, then the trucks still have to roll through the whole borough, even if very few people are doing it. But so at least two of the companies have gone to once a week. The talk about having the option of two times a week, does bring you up to 2 days of trucks going through. Overall, right. I'm still in favor of trying to move toward single hauler. But,
right. And I'd like to.
We cuts down a lot too.
I hope we can hold the question of one or two a week open for further discussion. I think many people have gone and chosen a once a week hauler and they just adapt. So we'll just have to see.
Tara?
Yes.
This all started as a traffic issue. I don't think we want to guarantee that this could be a price reduction issue, because we don't know.
We would not propose it to the public until we had better information on that. And when Bill was referring to the economies of scale, like I wouldn't want to have the public meeting until we could say, the municipalities that do it have cheaper rates and know that that was the case. Is that your question? You don't want it. Am I answering your question?
I would like to do a survey just among council member and Bill. What are our current situations? I'm a 1 week hauler with Whitetail. What's my price points? We can gather some information on pricing. If everybody is the same price today, then
we're not.
We're not. So I think, if you put something out to competitively bid, you're going to get people bidding on, the companies that they want your job are going to try to give it to you at the best price. If they're not interested, they'll give you some outrageous figure and you don't consider them, just like
our response. Yeah.
So, yeah. And so if you said, we're going to give you the opportunity to have all however many households we have in the borough, I don't know that number off the top of my head, but it's like, instead of you having currently only serving a quarter to a fifth of those people, and you and all the rest of the trucks are, like they all go down Washington Avenue, each one picks up every fifth can. That's pretty stupid. So if they could say, all right, we're going to give you the whole borough what's the price you can give us so that it's, you know, what's, they're going to want to be competitive. I mean, otherwise we're not going to consider them. We also always have the option of not accepting any of the prices that are offered to us.
But so, if I may, I'd like to, I think Bob raises a really important point, which is to keep in mind what are the reasons we're doing this.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, EAC brought this up. Really, price is not the primary consideration. It's environmental. It has to do with traffic. It has to do with safety. It has to do with wear and tear on the roads.
Right.
Those are the reasons. And just general public perception. And so if we get a price benefit, great. If we don't, I think we're still ahead.
Bill, I got a question for you. If we have one hauler, will they need more than 2 days? And will they need the entire day so that your traffic problem is not solved? It intensifies.
Yeah, I understand the question.
The issue when you're talking about the problem, the traffic problem, it's the, you know, the exhaust and the, like Bill said, the wear and tear on the roads. So right now, like all the haulers have to go up any given road because probably they all have at least one client on there. So if it's one hauler, they might have to like circle back because, you know, it would be a challenge to hit everything without going over any road twice, but there would be a lot of roads that would only have one truck go up it on trash day. So does that make sense?
Yeah, but will that take all day to empty all those?
So they might get picked up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon instead of 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we don't know the answer to that because we don't know the dynamics of what each hauler would propose to do. I just want to put it on the table.
In none of the other towns did it, they're all once a week or by plan twice a week. So it's not that by limiting themselves to one hauler that they had to spill over to multiple days per week.
Okay.
Langhorne has done once a week for years, once a week. They do not have twice a week. No resident in Langhorne gets twice a week pickup. People still live in Langhorne. They like it there. They get once a week pickup. Yardley Borough has the option of Wednesday trash and recycling, Saturday trash and bulk, twice a week. That's what they've got. So we would probably fit one or the other of those two.
Okay, thank you.
So I like your idea of a special meeting, Tara. I'm guessing after the new year. Probably.
I would think so because. Well,
would it be appropriate to make it an EAC meeting or would you like, should we do it as a special meeting of council?
If it's an EAC meeting, we would need to advertise that council was there, I think. Is that right, Lauren? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, if a quorum of council is going to be present at the meeting and deliberating or discussing council business, then yes, it would have to be advertised as a meeting of council. Mm-hmm.
So I would lean, I don't care that much, but for
like the fifth
sake, I would lean towards doing it on a fourth Thursday if EAC would be available and doing it after we have the survey results and when that time seems to make sense as part of the comprehensive plan.
Now I see that we still have a traffic management committee, at least listed on the website.
Theoretically.
Yeah, hi, Bob. I don't know how active it is, but I'd very much like to see this be a joint effort. I mean, EAC is the one.
So right now it's like me, Bob, and then a one business owner who was unhappy about parking changes.
I think I may have some volunteers.
Members. So, but having that, I think people put on the hats of traffic and parking, you know, definitely and get that input from, you know, the consideration thing is important, but we've lost quite a few members and nobody has stepped up to say, hey, we want to do it.
I guess where I'm going with that is to broaden it beyond just EAC's boundaries. Mm-hmm. If there are other committees or whatever that would be part of this, great, you know.
Yeah, I see. Okay. All right. So shall we leave it as let's reach out and see if anybody in the consortium gets back with any helpful information, get the results back from our
survey and then, you know, see if it actually see if the Planning Commission and the Bucks County Planning Commission reps have, you know, any thoughts as to where in the process. Good. And I agree, definitely the new year, because we're not going to be doing it in December, and we're already, you know, it would be too soon to do it now because the survey will be coming out, you know, this month.
Oh, Tara, I think that, you know, it's good the survey's coming out. I think timing it and seeing what the survey brings back is a good idea. I don't think we want to tie this to the comprehensive plan process because that process could be quite lengthy and this decision might not take that long at all. So I think that you're overlapping right now, but I wouldn't wait for writing the comp plan schedule.
No, I'm sorry. When I said overlapping, it's more like thinking about where we are. Like, oh, there is a meeting here and then, you know, let's not do it at the same time or wait until after we have the meeting. Okay. Just sort of in awareness.
Right.
So we don't do something that actually would look dumb.
Right.
No, it's just more in awareness of it.
And I would say
in the new year.
Well, that's good. And I would say that since the topic has been showing up on agendas, people are aware that we're talking about it. And I've been stopped on the street to say, so have you figured out what to do about a single hauler yet?
Oh, no, I've been stopped too.
We could be doing informal surveys ourselurto get it.
True, yes. And we've already gotten at least one love letter from a potential hauler who is very interested. So, you know. The word is getting out there and some of the public is a little bit confused, like, are you doing that? For everyone just sort of sharing that, hey, you know, this is not an immediate process and everybody will be very much included and we're going to get a lot of input on it is, you know, important to convey. All right. Thank you, Bill.
Well, thank you, everyone. Appreciate your interest and, we have an EAC meeting next Monday night, so we'll recap this and we'll talk about next steps at that point.
Okay, great, thanks. Julia, thank you. Is there anything else that you wanted to share on that? No, okay. Okay, Sue, the review of the expiration dates for COAs.
Yeah, you know, we went through the historic district as part of the E-code review, that section, and made some comments, but the recent incident where someone had a C of A that had expired because there's an 18-month duration made us go back and really look at the cover pages, if you will, of the Historic Architectural Review Board application form. And there are a couple, there are some updates that need to be made just for digital submission. Those are clear. There are a couple of things that aren't accurate. One of them says that a HARB representative inspects all completed work for compliance with the approved C of A, and that does not currently happen. And that, in my reading at least, is not part of the ordinance. It's just something that's in this form. But there's one thing besides the 18 months that came to light. On this form, it says that the applicant or project representative is required to attend the meeting, and we are not requiring that. HARB has been acting on applications without a representative present and thinks it, in some cases, makes sense to do that. So if we update this form, I just wanted to make sure that council doesn't have any issue with us taking that clause out. It's not in the ordinance.
You have the requirements to attend the meeting, and can you the first one? Can you read the first one, please?
I'm sorry, the one about the inspection?
Yeah.
Okay, it says right now a HARB representative will inspect all completed work for compliance with the approved C of A. That doesn't happen.
Right.
It should.
It's the code enforcement officer right now who's doing it. So our intention was to change it, who is responsible, not to eliminate the fact that it's done, sorry. And then the second one says the applicant or project representative is required to attend the meeting. Mm-hmm. We are not currently requiring that in all cases. Obviously, if additional information is needed, the application may not be acted upon, but we acted on three in one meeting where there was no representative there.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes an applicant, if it's something minor and very straightforward, may not want to be able to take the time, but would like you to look at it.
Sure. So is everyone okay with that?
Simple. Yeah, and will it then be changed to say the code enforcement officer will like replace the park administrator?
That's our recommendation. And I was going to send a revised format, but we didn't have an electronic copy of this, so we're retyping it. So yes, you will see it before we actually publish a new application form. So the other one that's significant is the 18 months. Right now it says, once a certificate of appropriateness has been issued, the applicant has 18 months from the date of issuance in which to complete the project. Otherwise, the certificate of appropriateness will expire and a new application will be required. There is no opportunity available for extension of the COA validity period. HARB's recommendation is, well, it was sort of split. There were some people who thought that we should change it to 5 years, so it has the same duration as the building permit. But there was also a person who felt very strongly that the 18 months made sense, but that there should be the possibility to get an extension. I don't think it's actually something that happens really often, but I could be wrong. I mean, in the 10 months, whatever, I've been on council, that's happened once. So you probably have more experience with that than I. Is it something that comes up often?
We had to come back. We had to reapply because we had a porch design, and after 18 months, we weren't able to get to it, and we had to put the new application in. It wasn't difficult to do, but we were aware, and actually were reminded by the zoning officer at the time that our COA had expired. That 18 months, you know, it does seem like it's complicated. And it doesn't apply, actually, I don't know if everyone's aware, but it does not apply if it's part of a subdivision land development project or something. It very specifically states in the ordinance that this is, we're just talking about a run-of-the-mill COA for work on your house, but not as part of a larger project. It seems to me that there ought to be that the work around it should start within a certain amount of time, as opposed to, you know, like you need to begin it, because otherwise if this is out there forever, let's say you get a COA today and you don't even apply for your building permit for 4 years, and then the building permit's good for five, is your COA good for nine?
So that was actually one of my thoughts as well. If you've applied and you're in the process and you run over 18 months, yeah, I think probably an extension is appropriate, but if you haven't begun work, then maybe not.
Yeah, did they bring up extending it, but not to 5 years, like giving it say 24 months and then also allowing for an extension, but that gives, it gives HARB, and it also gives our consultant an opportunity to check it, you know, for example, have standards changed? Is there any issue or question? And it can be fairly straightforward, but then you have longer than 18 months and an extension, but not a full 5 years.
There was really no suggestion that it be longer than 18 months, but less than 5 years. So it was either make it be the same as the permit, which frankly doesn't make sense to me practically, because you're never gonna get the permit the same day you got the HARB approval, so that 5 years is never gonna coincide anyway. Mm-hmm. But it was to leave it at 18 months, but to allow for an extension. And then of course the question is, what's the process for that, right? Who can approve that extension? Do they have to go back for HARB, which sort of makes it a moot point? We might as well just leave it the way it is, or can the code enforcement officer simply extend it?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's probably important to have something in there that says, like, if it expires, you kind of lost your chance for an extension. Does that make sense? Like there, it's like you kind of have to be on top of it, because if someone's gonna come back and be like, oh, no, I wanted that extension, you know, but it's like, well, it's been 6 months, I don't know. I just feel like that should just be brought up, but I'm fine keeping it the same way and maybe allowing an extension, but not the same amount as the building permit. To answer your earlier question,
the project being done in 18 months or starting in 18 months?
Right now it says completed in 18 months.
So their thought was to leave it that way.
Well, some extending it, right?
Correct. Leave it at completed, but allow for one extension.
How about but the I really idea like that closer. To get the extension, you actually had to have started? In other words, if you start within the 18 months, then you could extend it, but you can't extend it if you haven't even started.
I think that makes sense. And I also really like, Nicole's point that if it expires, then you have to reapply.
Yeah. And I would be okay with extending the time. I do know that sometimes people have trouble getting things, like, you know, you have the custom windows to comply with whatever on order, and they're waiting for the something to come from somewhere, and things do happen. You know, you can get your design, and then your builder isn't ready until the following spring, and then, you know, I can see things taking longer, and that's one thing I don't know, has that often happened, and then expiration wasn't enforced, or do people standardly, are they able to get everything done in 18 months, which could be kind of short?
What Mike Hutchinson commented is that right now in particular, because so many people are at home and everyone's decided to renovate their house, that it's more difficult than it has been in the past.
Mm-hmm. Would we want to make it 24 months or suggest that to Harv and see what they think about that?
So
started within 18 months, if we're not then, you know, talking about having to complete it, you know, start within 18 months and then you could get an extension.
So one of the questions that I was asked and I didn't know the answer to is why is it 18 months now? I know that it was at one point 12 and it was extended to 18, but I really couldn't speak to the reasoning behind the 12 or the 18.
It was 12 and you could get a 6-month extension.
Oh, okay.
And then it changed to 18 months with no extension.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think 12 months was too short, you know. And I can tell you from a practical point of view, if you're thinking about doing work on your house, and it's kind of been a discussion at ours, like, well, all right, if we only have 18 months in that COA, I guess we better delay going to Harv until we really know we're ready to do it, as opposed to we'd like to do it and we want to go to Harv and make sure we can, but then we don't know if we'll be able to finish it in 18 months and have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the 24 months I don't see why 24 months might not be considered. It seems like a little bit better, and maybe even to say the project must be started within 24 months.
With no completion date?
Well, if you needed a building permit, you've got 5 years to start, or 5 years to complete.
Yeah, I think part of the reason was we didn't want people just sort of with half-built things sitting around, I guess.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, that maybe if you just like keep it 18 months, but instead of saying that it has to start, like your time ticks then, like that it could be like once you start your project, 18 months, but that might get confusing.
Yeah. Now, I think 2 years and then... But the 2 years was for completion, and then you can get an extension. So it's not like you have to start by end. What do you think?
I could see this being a little bit of something to figure out, Sue, because to answer your question, I haven't really seen a lot of projects that get that delayed. But now that so many people are buying, builders are buying the houses, and then they're redoing it, that I think, and then, you know, something happens on their end where, you know, for whatever reason, it's not listed right away. I think that's when it gets a little tricky. That's mm-hmm. what happened in that one case. It was like the builder, before he even had a buyer, put in the Harv application, and that's why it got lost in the shuffle. So,
Nicole, when you put on your addition, how long did that take?
once we got it approved through HARB, well, we were able to not live in the house because we lived in Richboro with my mom. So I think that was helpful, because that's the other thing too. If somebody's doing a project where they're actually living in the house, then that takes way longer. So they were able, once we got all the permits and approval, I think they started in August and we moved in April. And that was with us completely out of the house. But that was a complete, like, the whole thing was getting worked on at the same time.
Right.
So it wasn't just the addition. That was bathrooms and whatever. So
I guess a good example of the extreme on a pretty big size job, short of, you know, totally building a house, would be the one at Chancellor in Jefferson. That's a pretty substantial job, and we'll see how long that one takes.
Well,
it's moving pretty good. It's moving pretty fast.
Yeah. So I think you guys have given me some good suggestions and ideas and considerations to take back to HARB. So I'll do that and we'll come back with a proposal, a specific proposal, but I wanted to get your input before we discuss it further at the HARB meeting. So thank you.
Thanks, Sue. All right, next. Mark, an update on the comprehensive plan?
Well, update on the Planning Commission meeting as a whole. Before the comprehensive plan, the Planning Commission, you know, passed a motion to sign an approval of the sewage planning module A for the State and Court LLC. So there was discussion on that, and then motion to approve was passed. Then, in terms of the comprehensive plan, there were three chapters that were discussed. Historic preservation, transportation and circulation, and then community facilities and services. Some of the interesting things discussed were the whole idea of bringing much more into the plan in terms of trails and connectivity to other, you know, parts of the region. Even the presentation we had just within the last month of the whole, you know, attempt to link to the Delaware, you know, canal, you know, was brought up as part of the discussion. And then in terms of community facilities and services, there was discussion of, you know, fire, ambulance, and police. I'll say that one of, they have not been able to connect with Chief Sabbath in terms of our police force. I know that they were trying. Probably still be good if they could. I don't know if there's any way we could, you know, grease that. I'm sure he's busy on a lot of things. And the other thing I would plan to do is pass that appropriate chapter onto the mayor as liaison to, you know, primary liaison to the fire, you know, group in terms of how, you know, we would want, how much or how little we would want to incorporate on things related to the future. Any questions?
All right, well, we can, you know, check with Chief and I can just remind him of that and ask him to go back and follow up there.
Marv, I did have a question. I briefly stopped in on the meeting the other night. And they were discussing the historic district, and I saw a map that had the historic district extending into the township. Do you know what that was all about? And was that just showing resources, or do they think that it's one great big historic district that we have control over?
Well, I guess I don't know. I where they brought that up, essentially the three properties that are included are the Old Presbyterian Church. I don't know if there had been any discussion of somehow including that in the historic district. A second property is that the building at the corner of Washington and Sycamore, that's currently the IT group. You know, that had been the restaurant and now is the, you know, inappropriate. And okay, what was the third one?
The third is the bridge. The third resource that's listed in this area is the Center Avenue Bridge. So, but those are in the Newtown Township Historic District.
We have some of them.
We have our own district, but we don't have a specific. Okay. I'm not sure about we have specific buildings that are in our highlighted.
But specifically those properties. I mean, they're just like little notches. Oh, the third one, which makes no sense, is part of that the Cambridge office and retail kind of behind the 7-Eleven. Who knows what that leads to?
Yeah.
And I guess it has one historic building on it, but you know, certainly the entire landmass is not of any historic importance anymore.
But so Mark,
three exact notches.
Yeah, but Mark, I understand that the township has an historic district that it wiggles around on Sycamore Street and takes a property here and a property there. It's not like ours that is very much larger and all encompassing and has all these different buildings. Theirs is different, but my question is, did the Bucks County Planning Commission think that the township historic sites and areas were part of the borough's historic district? And so why were they
on the map? Not, they and our planning commission, nobody was totally sure if that was somehow incorporated into the original historic, you know, plan, that those three specific properties were part. So that's definitely, you know, on the, call it on the plate to double check on the status of those three properties and, you know, leave them off of the, you know, map if appropriate.
Any other questions for Marv? Okay, all right. Thank you, Marv. Okay. So, review of the preliminary draft budget. Council had its special meeting to review the budget in October. And next week at our council meeting, we will be directing the secretary to advertise the proposed budget for adoption and then the vote at the December council meeting. So does anybody have any further review, discussion, consideration for the budget at this time?
So I guess I'm taking kind of a mulligan because I've had plenty of opportunity to, you know, bring forward this idea, having been on budget finance and then that extra meeting. But I've been reviewing some things that finally brought this to mind when I was just taking it at face value. I would like to propose that we increase the money from the borough that goes to the Newtown Ambulance Squad. Right now, it's only gone up $500 in the last almost 10 years. It sits at, I think that the sheet is a little bit wrong. It says $11,100. Actually, when I calculate from the millage and our new millage rate, it would actually be $11,315. But I would like to see if there's a way, you know, I'm not sure if we would have to increase that millage or if there's a way to put some additional money into it from the, transfer to
it's
be.
It's probably or, simplest to increase the millage because prior to 2011, there were a couple of years when council had used the LST as a portion to donate. And then Evan Resnikoff came and gave a presentation to council. And at that time, and this predates me, but council decided to then create that millage, which is a quarter mil. So I would recommend not then adding something else separately, but keeping it within the millage. But that would be my first thought. I'd be open to options. And council should keep in mind that this is a donation. So the ambulance squad has a subscription, which is basically public donations. And then of course the fees to the people who use the ambulance because they get billed. And then about 5% of their budget is tax dollar, like municipal donations, basically. So in the same way that we donate to, say, like the library, the Newtown Historic Association, but the state law allows us to create a special millage for it rather than just having it come out of general fund. So I just want everybody to keep that in mind. You know, we certainly want to support them, and they're, you know, important part of our community. So did you have any further thoughts on that, Marv?
Yeah, well, just to chime, yeah. Marv and I had a conversation this afternoon, but one of the things we also have to consider when we're looking at the ambulance squad is, like so many other organizations, they're operating with paid people and volunteers, but also everything that they do, they have to respond to every medical emergency within the community. And because of COVID, as much as anything, they have gotten support back for some of the things that they needed to utilize in their care and their ability to respond to these things. But I think a lot of it has been outpaced by the number of calls that they are responding to. So I think any type of money that would come forth from the municipality and increasing it, like Marv has suggested, I think would be most appropriate for them to be able to have time and money to continue to provide the services that they do, both also from a emergency standpoint, but also transportation of elderly and sick people from nursing homes to municipal visit or to hospital and doctor's visits. So that's all part of their service that they provide to the community.
So what kind of money are you talking about?
Well, I mean, so right now it's 11,000. Essentially would amount to every 0.05 mil increase from the current 0.25 would amount to about another $2,200.
Okay, because I mean, personally, I would say with COVID and everything that Corky just brought up, maybe the better idea is to do a one-time donation for this year. And then, I mean, you know, unless there's something specific, like, I mean, usually when we consider raising taxes, then we have a lot of kind of background information on why we're doing it so that we can, you know, I guess give some data and be able to speak about it, fluidly, I guess. Like, I wouldn't even know what to tell someone that the, you know, why this is specifically needed. But again, just my opinion, I mean, it's even possible with things that we have canceled because of COVID that Pat wouldn't even be, you know, if she looks at our current account, we could even do a donation in this year if council approved that. But anyway, just my opinion, I would, if we did raise the taxes, I want to get a lot more information.
Now that's actually a really good point, Nicole. Mm-hmm. I like how you expressed that. And to say that we're going to do a one-time donation extra this year because of the pandemic and the stress that they've been under. And then in the future, we can consider if we would adjust the millage, but do that more in advance with more deliberation.
And which is the direction I was going at originally, if we could get some extra money from general fund.
And that wouldn't be a permanent thing where we permanently have two categories, but it's for this year.
Corky, and that would leave the option to make something more permanent, at least, you know,
sure,
in the future. But you know, if we're late in the budget process, we're trying to, you know, put in tax increases, then I think that's a good possible way to go.
And they haven't approached us, have they?
No.
I was just looking at numbers and I saw that it had barely gone up in 10 years.
Right. So they haven't approached us. They have other means of raising money. I'm not trying to be a Scrooge. I agree with Nicole that a donation is the better process this way. I don't really want to raise taxes for that, particularly since, you know, we have all the issues with the fire company that we're dealing with as well. And we know they are asking. So, I think Nicole's plan to look and see what sort of one-time donation we could make would certainly be appreciated, but I wouldn't go with the tax increase.
Mr. Mayor, you were about to say something?
I was just going to say that I think Nicole and Julia have hit it on the head, and I think anything that could be brought forth to them at this stage of the game, because they're not like the fire company in the fact that they are operating 100% with volunteers. They do have some volunteers who drive and do those things, but most of them are paid. So I do believe that to offset some of their expenses in regards to what they've had to deal with the pandemic, I think would be most appreciated.
Bob?
I like Nicole and Julia's idea, and to do it this year. And if we could designate what the money would be used for, we would go and ask them, do you need gloves, mask, whatever? What's been your extraordinary budget over the budget item, so that when we package this donation, it has a specific result rather than just writing a blank check? Because we have other municipalities questioning our donations or contributions to different items, which are going to be a matter of discussion in the future. I think if we're going to make a 2020 donation for a particular item, it's going to fall into their general budget, but it would package it better for making it an extraordinary donation in this crisis.
Yeah, and especially if there was something specific they said, you know, I don't want to like micromanage it for them, because sometimes it's better applied to, you know, like you said, we would ask them what they wanted, because it may be better applied to where they can use it, you know, across a couple things.
Yeah, it's a matter of
package. Like it has to be a sports thing, and really, like the chemistry department is like needs funds, but you know, nobody donated to the chemistry department, so. Shall we say that this is something that council would like to do? Do we have a general consensus? And then we need to check with Pat.
If you would like, I would be happy to contact the ambulance squad and see what they would have in the way of a need that we could possibly meet by a one-time donation.
And I also like the idea of whatever we give to maybe be thinking towards the future of like, whatever information Corky gathers that could help us make our decision, you know, next year.
Sure, that makes sense.
Very good.
Okay.
I'll have that before next week's meeting.
Okay, great.
Good. All right. Thank you, everybody.
All right, and Budget and Finance will reach out to Pat. Anything else to add to the budget discussion? Okay. All right. Moving on to the professional services invoices. I want to entertain a motion to approve the professional services invoices, accepting.
Tara, do we have to authorize Judy to advertise?
No, we do that next week.
Okay.
So at the council meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
I would make that motion, but are we pulling the one?
I just give the specific three that we are approving, that we are suggesting to approve.
Okay, I would have to pull up the invoice because I wrote down the name.
CTS Engineering, High Schwartz, and Rudolph Clark.
No, that invoice is part of the BIA. It's one Barry Isett invoice.
Oh, so you want to do most of Barry Isett? Okay,
they have a bunch of invoices. Each one has different categories, and if you look at the pages you go through, you'll see like this page is this one, this page is this one. So we're only pulling this one page.
Tara, I have it in front of me. I printed it. Mm-hmm. So why don't we do this? Why don't we make a motion for the other three invoices? You know, the other three consultants, and then let's do this one separately, and then we can word it to just say that we're not. You know, Marv, are you saying you want to list the specific invoices for Barry Isett, or are you just saying that you wanted to do High Schwartz separate and Rudolph Clark and CKS in one motion and then do Barry Isett separately?
Yeah, I was planning on doing the three. I thought we were delaying all of Barry Isett but I think if we're doing part of Barry Isett, we should do the first three and then treat Barry
Isett. And then do that, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna let you do that.
So I'll do that one and then Nicole, you can do the Barry Isett.
No, because I'm more confused.
I'm going to approve the professional services invoices for CKS Engineering, High Schwartz Law, and Rudolph Clark Law for September 2020.
I'll second.
All right. Motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes.
Great. So, all right. So, what is the page that taking out.
Okay, so it's the invoice 147180. So we're good on all the other invoices, just that one, 147180.
I know, but do you think, and should I be saying,
I'm good with
accept that invoice?
September 2020 invoice accepting invoice number. And if Lauren thinks that's good, Lauren's nodding her head, then we
that's
can
fine.
Do that.
Okay.
Let's all the other numbers.
The invoice itself is actually dated October 14th, 2020, but it's for services in September.
Yeah. And because usually we say professional invoices for September.
Right.
So. Okay. I think I got it. So I will make a motion to approve the professional services invoices for Barry Iset, removing the invoice number 147-180. Do you want me to say dated October? No.
You should add the date in. Yeah, I think you typically do.
Okay. Julia, it was dated October
14th, 2020. Mm-hmm. Okay,
second.
All right, we have a motion. I have a second. Any further discussion?
Well, so Tara, I had mentioned my other question I had, mm-hmm. and it's actually happens to be, I just put on invoice 147181, and I was questioning why they were talking about roof permits, and they were billing them hourly. And you know, usually permits are a fee percentage, like you were saying.
Like 60%.
Yeah, so I don't know what this roof permit, they're talking about roof permits and they're billing them by hours with a $65 hourly rate.
Yeah, Matt is billing for his hourly, for work where he was working on those various things. Those are not issuing permits. That appears to be his office time. But if you look at the whole list, receipt of 4 permits for roofs, and then it says issuing of a hard permit, distribution of an ordinance, and follow-up phone calls, all in that one line. So I think what that is that's time that he's spending. So I think we might need to talk to them about their invoicing, because have we determined whether what we're paying for the permit is supposed to be covering the office work that they're doing around the permit?
Yeah, okay. Above that, he has 2 hours for just issuance of 4 permits, 3 roofs and 1 greenhouse. I mean,
and following up his phone calls to the Planning Commission and HARB and all the rest of that, all in that one line. You see them all?
Okay.
Oh, no, I was looking at the one above that. Which
oh, that one, yeah.
2 hours just for issuing 4 permits.
And one so greenhouse, yeah.
Let's
have a fee they get for the permit.
I think we need to pull the
details prior to the meeting. But I think Marv has a question. We need that this clarified.
So I think I'm going to withdraw my second.
Sounds like we need to table it.
Who made the initial?
I did. So I'm fine with whatever you guys feel comfortable with. I don't think it's a big deal to.
You have a second for the table?
So I'll read. What am I doing?
You have to, right now you have a motion on the table and Julie has withdrawn her second because of the questions Mark brought up.
Okay. So I will also remove my motion.
So, okay. All right. And Lauren has nodded her head. So we did that appropriately. Okay. So, shall we just table that? Lauren, do we need a motion to table this, or just since she withdrew her motion, we just agree to table it?
I think since the issue was brought up, a motion to table would be appropriate to just table it to the next meeting.
All right. Who would like to make a motion to table it?
I'll make a motion to table the professional service invoice for Barry Iset, September 2020.
I second.
All right. We've had a motion. We've got a second. Any other questions about tabling? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion passes. All right. So then Judy will put this on the agenda for next week. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. Update on the 2020 road program.
Bob, do you want to do it or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'll do it. We are finalizing the punch list for this year's contract. There's very few items, and I was going to do an inspection of the couple items today, but ran out of time. So I'll probably do that tomorrow. But everything should be completed this calendar year.
There is something that's holding things up, though. The punch list has not yet been officially submitted, if you will, to the contractor, pending the decision on what we do with the curb on North Chancellor.
Okay.
Because we don't know whether we're going to include that or not include that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It should be resolved this week then, right?
Yeah, we've been talking about it daily, so okay. We should have more news next week.
All right, great. Thank you. Thanks for coming along. So that's great. Okay, are we ready to move on to zoning then?
Okay. Actually, the first thing I'd like to talk about very briefly is the Zoning Hearing Board application that we received for 202 Penn Street. So this is not the 204 next door that went through Zoning Hearing Board a month or so ago. This is a new one and you all received it. I just want to mention briefly what it's about and not really to engage in any discussion, but our decision, we would have to be considering whether we want to send a solicitor. I don't know when this is scheduled to go before the Zoning Hearing Board. Judy, do you know if there's a date set yet?
I have not seen anything come through.
Right. So my assumption is the earliest date that it could be would be in December, because this was, well, no, could be in November, and they normally meet the third week in November. So I would want to know, but it would behoove us to make this decision soon because we don't know when it's coming before the board. Very, very briefly, there is a request to build out, to build a garage attached to the existing house that would then decrease the side yard from the permit, from the required 5 feet to just over 2 feet.
Wait, what's the address again? I'm so sorry.
202 Penn Street.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's one house east of 204, or west, one house to the west, okay.
The blue, modern blue house.
Right.
To the left of the Hicks house.
Yes.
To the right of 204, where we had the driveway issue.
Correct. Yes. Okay. So I don't really want to go through their application at this time. You can read it, but think about whether we should be, whether we want to ask our solicitor to go. I guess my second question would be to Lauren, is if council wants to discuss the merits or the, not the merits, but the argument in their application for why they would like variance, would that be considered an executive session discussion?
So the application itself has been submitted to the borough. So the arguments that are being made by the applicant in the application are public record, but if council wanted to discuss litigation strategy, then that would be appropriate for executive session.
Okay. All right, I didn't have anything else to say on that one. Did anyone else want to say anything else?
Okay. I was thinking there was another variance request, no? Or was it just a side setback?
It's just the side yard setback, okay. Which actually results in two side yard setback problems. So then the next item to move on to, which was even more exciting, is to discuss chapter 501 in the e-code, which is taxation. And I put Valentina's done a lot of work and has basically revised and rewritten the chapter in the e-code to bring it up to date and be in compliance with state law. Hasn't changed our taxing at all, hasn't changed anything we do right now. The only question that council might want to consider is the question about earned income tax.
and whether we want to provide for a low income exemption for our portion of the earned income tax. Right now it's a 1% income tax on your earned income, which we split 50-50 with the school district. The school district does not provide a low income exemption, and none of the other municipalities in Council Rock School District provide a low income exemption for that. So the question is, do you want to consider it, or do you want to just leave taxing the way it is right now?
And if everybody had a chance to take a look at the list of all the municipalities in Bucks and what they have, which Julia had provided, there are 6 out of the 54 municipalities which have this exemption. And the borough does have it for LST, which is the more common one.
Now, almost every community has it for the LST.
Yeah.
Are we doing questions now, or do
sure. Sure. Let's start with questions.
So in terms of how the earned income tax works, would this low income exemption be by person or by total form? In other words, you can have the case where one individual has a ton of income and then the spouse has very little.
Okay. I fill out tax forms for people with low incomes all the time. So I'm very familiar with how it works. When you pay your earned income tax, it is on your income. It is not on your spouse's income. It is not on anyone else in your family. You file your own, and you can transfer your, if you overpay, you can transfer what you overpay to your spouse if you file a joint return, but they don't combine the incomes. So I guess your question is, if you're someone who only earns a small amount, but your spouse earns a lot, do you get the low income exemption? I guess I don't exactly know how that, I've never actually seen that applied for, but I suppose it could.
If that were a route somebody would take, then I would say not to allow the exemption.
It's also, they would have their Keystone return, and Keystone or whoever, it is that they have the EIT would then, they person files, and then they would then give them that percentage back, because obviously it's not the whole EIT, because the rest goes to Council Rock. And as Julia said, nobody else in Council Rock School District, none of the other municipalities have this.
Julia, is there a senior discount on that tax?
No, there is not. It's earned income tax only. So your Social Security is not taxed. It's just if you have a wage. And if you're earning all of your money in the stock market, you don't pay earned income tax on that at all either. It's only earnings, like wage earnings.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm gathering that we'll just leave it the way it is. We can always change it at some later date. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
that was easy.
Julia, what you're suggesting may be a solution without a problem.
No, I think she's not suggesting it. It's just a question that needs to be asked as we go through it.
Right. To create an exemption, there has to be a class of people who would be eligible. And we don't know if that class exists.
Okay. So I'm saying that since there doesn't seem to be much interest in pursuing this, we will not continue to discuss it at this point. Were there any other questions about the chapter revision that is being proposed? Nope. Good. Okay. So then that will just go on into E-code and continue on its merry way.
Julia, can you, before we move on,
yes.
This is for the benefit of the public, because all of us understand what's been done. But if I was just listening and saying, holy moly, they did all these changes to taxes, they're not talking about it. To just explain that we're updating the legal verbiage.
Right. There is no change to how the borough collects taxes. This has nothing to do with the tax rate. That gets set by an ordinance once a year. It is the ordinance that based on the state law that permits the borough to levy taxes, and how its real estate and local services and earned income tax, and how those taxes are collected, like who collects them, and what happens if you fail to pay your taxes. That it's the process. So it's just lays out the framework that allows us to levy the taxes on the citizens.
And we're updating to be consistent.
Yes, it's being updated. It's being much, if you notice, it's a considerably shorter ordinance than it had been at the suggestion of General Code and Valentina's superb editing skills. So that's good. We'll move on. Just to give you...
I'm so sorry, Julia.
You have a question, yes.
So I have a question, not about what's in it or the content or any of that. Sure. But, and I don't know if this is for you to answer or if this is something more for Valentina to answer, and I don't know if Judy's even taken a look at it, but for our tax collector, does any of these changes impact the tax collector? Does the tax collector need to be familiar with them, and does she need to?
No.
Okay, good. All right, great.
It basically says that there is a tax collector, and the borough assigns a tax collector, the borough pays the tax collector. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And the language also, when it was first written, obviously every borough had their own way of collecting taxes, and now that the county collects all of their EIT and LST through Keystone. But the way that the ordinance has been, the language is revised, is just, it's just generically. And then, who that person is otherwise determined.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. Thank you.
So I just wanted to give you a little heads up on what's coming up. We still have some outstanding issues that were brought up in previous discussions on other chapters. They're going to come up at the December work session. Michelle and I have been working on updating the streets and sidewalk ordinance, which makes taxation look like kindergarten. And Michelle and I are also working on the stormwater management ordinance. That's going to come before you too. You'll recall that the streets and sidewalk and the stormwater management ordinance were going to be updated as their own ordinances outside the E-code process. And it looks like we are on track to be done with it with our first round of input before Christmas. And then after that, we're putting together the package for General Code. And I'm going to put something up for everyone to take a look at if you are having trouble sleeping. And then we will send it off to General Code for their production of the next manuscript.
Thank you. Any other questions for Julia? Any old business?
I have one item. Just to let everybody know that the Green Regions grant application was submitted last week. And then I got it in before the deadline, and then they increased the deadline to the middle of November. So anyway, it's in.
Thank you.
I just wanted to confirm, Tara, that the assessment of the borough that's starting this month still with the consultant?
Yes. Okay. I have to find out from him what day, but he said November, but we need to get the date and kind of get a plan of action set.
Thanks.
Any new business? Bob?
Yeah, Tara, we got an invitation from the Newtown Business Association that the Pickering Manor Pavilion will be dedicated on November 19th at 10 a.m. I don't know whether that's an interior or exterior, but I'll give them a call to find out.
Yeah,
go ahead. Since they've been a gracious neighbor. So.
Oh, that'll be lovely to see. Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
Any other new business? All right, public to be heard. We have one member of the public with us. No? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn, and following that, council will retreat into an executive session. So after that motion, then we'll sort out ending the recording, and then Judy, you can hand over the hosting, okay?
I make the motion to adjourn.
So moved, or seconded, sorry.
All right, motion second, all in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes, meeting is adjourned. Thank you, goodbye Warren. Okay, and we finished recording.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Judy.
Thanks, Judy.
Okay. All right.
You have to end the recording, Tara.
Yeah, hold on. Stop recording. There we go. Do you want to stop cloud recording? Yes.